I've been a little busy today. I heard about this Second Amendment quote. It sounds like just a joke gone bad. I hope he clears it up very quickly. You should never joke about something like that. I didn't actually hear the comments. I only heard about those comments. Look, I think it's very clear the Trump-Pence ticket is going to be one that will put good judges at the Supreme Court, and we will find far better receptivity of our agenda that we're trying to get on track to fix this country's problems than the Hillary Clinton administration. That much we know.
And that, of course, was Paul Ryan, who tonight, by an overwhelming margin, almost 90% of the Republicans voting in the primary in Wisconsin, gave him the nod of approval against his opponent. It's very important because Paul Ryan is the highest-ranking Republican in government. He is the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and I would remind everybody, third in line for the presidency. Let's go to Lisa, who is calling from San Jose. And Lisa, I'm delighted because you're going to clarify something, and I was hoping someone would call to do it. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you, John. I have three really quick points. The first is I am really tired of NRA people referring to the gun confiscation in Australia. What she was referring to is in 1996, at the request of 90% of their populace in response to a mass shooting, they passed a gun buyback law that also made it harder to buy assault weapons. 20 years later now, the actual number of murders in Australia, the number, not percentage, which has clearly gone down, the number of actual murders and specifically gun murders has gone down in 20 years. So that's thing number one.
Okay, wait, one sec. One sec.
Of democracy.
Good. I just want to say something. Very often statements are made. I don't jump in initially. I make notes.
Okay.
Because I like to have people like you who are aware call and make that observation. And you are absolutely correct. Spot on. Thank you. Point number two.
Point, well, okay, two and three. The one who likes that Trump has something to say, dictators always speak their mind, okay, because they can. There's no one there to stop them. I don't want them running my country. And Hillary specifically said she didn't want to take away guns. And I got to admit, I am blanking on the third thing. You will love this because this is right up your alley. Just about an hour ago, I was talking to a friend who's a PhD psychologist, runs a psych unit, knows her stuff. And I was dying for her to come back from vacation because I wanted to say, what diagnosis would you give Trump? I'm curious. And she, surprisingly, I expected more, but she said classic narcissist. And he won't be able to maintain it because he can't. So you're asking what do the Republicans need to do? It doesn't matter because psychologically he will be incapable of not going off on a tangent and speaking what he supposedly thinks, as the gentleman liked. There's nothing they can do. They can try, but he will never be able to stay on target.
Okay, I have 2 points for you before I let you go. First of all, Donald Trump is not now a dictator because he doesn't hold any power. But if you're talking about the fact that he exhibits those qualities when he says, I, which is what he did at the Republican convention, he forgets that a president is not a dictator, cannot order things. I always remember Harry Truman, when Eisenhower was going to become president, said, poor old Ike, he's going to get in here and he's going to snap orders and nothing's going to happen. And
exactly.
You're absolutely right that a president must work with a Congress in order to be effective. You're 100% spot on that. And I'm glad that you were able to remember the third thing. What was it again?
That he is a true narcissist. He is a classic narcissist personality.
You realize that you realize I'm having a little fun with you because there are three signs of getting older. The first one is I can't remember. Okay.
So, I can't remember. I definitely have seen your moments,
okay.
No question.
So the point is about narcissism. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I don't pretend to be one. But I can tell you that among Republican leaders, there is a real concern about the nature of his personality. And when he says tonight that he is very content with who he is and what he is, and he has no intention of changing, that should concern people, in my judgment. Lisa, thank you very much for your call. Let's go to Larry calling from Humboldt. Larry, welcome to KGO.
Hi, John. Good to hear you again. I missed you on the radio. I was talking to a doctor friend of mine 4 or 5 months ago, and he said, Donald Trump exhibits all the classic symptoms of somebody who suffers from sleep deprivation. And one of those symptoms is to just say things and make spot judgments just without any thought to it.
Well,
and
you're,
so that's
you're right.
All I have.
Well, that's part, and I have to say to you, having worked in presidential campaigns and worked with candidates in general, it is a very tough business. You are on stage literally every waking minute. You go to bed very late at night. You get up very early in the morning. And there is that problem that all candidates have of fatigue. Generally, if you know a good candidate who's run a hard race on election day, they're in a state of collapse. And I can tell you, you're absolutely right. That sleep deprivation is very tough, but that's the way we run the race. You know, that's it.
Right.
And by the way, Michael Phelps tonight picked up yet another gold medal, which goes to show you can run the race and win. But at least Phelps has a chance to relax after he has a swim. But running for president, let me tell you, you're always in deep water. Always. I appreciate the call. Thank you very, very much. Ray, calling from Oakland. Ray, welcome to KGO.
All right, thanks for taking my call. Just real quickly, I'd like to know if you could do a little fact-checking and see if it's true that Hillary Clinton plans to bring 200,000 Syrian refugees over into our country. And also, I think the polls that have been parroting from the mainstream media are very deceptive because they just did an independent poll, an independent study that showed Donald Trump far ahead of Hillary Clinton. And another thing is, how can you accept, if you've seen the Chris Wallace interview with Hillary Clinton, she just blatantly lies. She doesn't have the capacity to tell the truth.
Okay, let me back up. I've only got about a minute and a half, and I want to talk to you, so don't go away. Let me first of all say in relation to polls, if it were one poll indicating, I would say there's a problem, but this is not one poll. These are multiple polls from Gallup, from Harris, from a variety of sources, all of whom, not perfect, but seem to be an indicator. That's number one. Number two, the question of admitting refugees. A president cannot order the admission of refugees. That is something that Congress has to collaborate on. So any president who says they're going to open America's doors, it's a far more complex thing because presidents are not dictators. And I say this very respectfully. And the third thing is about Hillary's honesty. I will tell you that the people who don't like Hillary will say that she is thoroughly dishonest. The people who like her will say, well, but she's a great person, and we think in general she's honest. All I can tell you is the reason why Hillary has negatives is for that reason. And her job, if she is elected president, is going to be to convince the American people that she can be trusted. And I hope that answers all of your questions. I hope so. Anyway, we are going to move on. I've spent an hour, and normally, you know, we try to break it up and mix and match, and we will through the rest of the evening. I'm back tomorrow, by the way, and I'm sure Donald Trump will say something. And if he doesn't, I have more material. But I do want to point out that in the next hour, we're going to talk, or next half hour, just for a half hour, you all know about Delta Airlines and the power outage, which caused the long delays which continue today. It was an unintentional glitch because of computers. That's what happened. But my question is, what happens if cyber warfare disrupts our communications? Is it something we should be concerned about? By the way, if you were on a Delta flight, give us a call at 800-810-810. I'd like to hear your story. But more than that, do you understand, do you fear the fragility of our society because of cyber warfare? 800-810-810. I'm John Rothman. I'm in for Drex. And of course, you, with great wisdom, are listening to KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland.